from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome to Postcard from Portbread. My God, I've got the buttons in the right places. Hi, I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. It's a bit overcast today. But not so much of a problem. It's your sideways look at the news. It's called Postcard from Poprad because we're in the east of Slovakia in the beautiful town of Poprad. Over in the UK, as always, it's the one and only Lee G. Banksy.
That's me.
Yes. Are you right?
Yeah. Pardon?
Are you right?
I'm all right, thank you very much. That's very nice of you to inquire. Yes, I'm very well. Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. How is your life progressing?
My life's progressing, getting closer and closer to death, as everybody else's is. We're moving in that direction.
Oh,
but it's an inexplicable move, isn't it? Inexorably moving towards the day's end of your life. The twilight zone. I am in the twilight zone.
Well, you've been in that all your life.
Well, that was in the spaceman zone.
I was okay. Giggling in the background is the one and only, all the way from Darwin, Rachel Brunsdon.
Hey! Afternoon, good evening, good whatever time it is in your part of the world. Yeah, it's still raining here. It's still raining, week 3.5, and it's really wet and damp and sad.
I know.
But it's all right because I'm none of those things.
You're not, are you? You're a little ray of sunshine. In Darwin. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio X Replay, Breeze, Kiss, Nonstop Radio, RTI, and as the girl says at the beginning, all the wonderful people on Windows phones that are listening. And there's blinking thousands of you. It's marvellous. It is absolutely marvellous. Thank you so much for all of those listenerships. So anyway, we're going to do a follow-up on the idiot from last week who was trying to scam money out of one of our listeners, who's now resorted to threats.
It's incredible.
If you weren't with us last week, boys and girls, where the heck were you? One of our listeners contacted us because they were very suspicious about some emails going around trying to buy a camera. And we deduced from these emails and other searches that it was a scam. So if you get an email from lloydservices@doleoffice.com, it's a scam. And so we told them to go away in short, jerky movements and not to trouble anybody again. And you know, you've got to remember that a lot of people that listen to this programme, second language is English, apart from the fact that the bloke who wrote this email obviously doesn't understand English. It makes people nervous because when they get threatened with, we will report your bank and your contact details to the FBI.
They're just going to write it on a post-it and stick it on their front door.
Exactly.
Was our listener really worried about that?
Yes.
Really?
Really?
I don't mean that in a disparaging way to our listener.
No.
It's just such an outrageously ridiculous claim, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, in many countries, the FBI is seen by many as, you know, all-powerful and all this and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand it, yeah.
Yeah, and certain people, when you write to them, especially in Eastern Europe, you have to do it the right way around because people do. I mean, if you get a letter from somebody moaning, it's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's atrocious. Yeah. You know, it's shocking. People just don't write for that reason. So when you get emails like this, which people consider to be letters, they do tend to get rather concerned about it. So since then, what we've done, boys and girls, is we've found the place where it's all starting from.
Can I just interrupt at that moment for an update on that?
Mm.
Yes.
Just to let the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else know that actually we are so professional about this that we are actually doorstepping houses on that road around the scammer's house as we speak. And hopefully we'll get a report about what's happening there in the next few minutes.
Brilliant. Blimey.
Recon.
This is what you get recon in. Now, interestingly, one country that dislikes scammers more than many happens to be Australia, doesn't it, Rach?
That is correct. We do not like people trifling with the internet. We don't like it. We don't, going to appreciate it. And if you do it, you're going to get smacked really hard.
So it's going to really
be a kangaroo.
Yes, by a boxing kangaroo.
That's the worst type.
They're bad, yeah.
They're bad. Anyway, we've tracked this guy down to a registrant company, which will remain nameless for now in Melbourne, but that gives you a clue. Uh-huh. And they work with a company in the UK, as is normally the case with the way internet registrations are done. So the smaller company registers through the big company, which registers to this all-encompassing body that runs the whole of the internet in Washington called the called ICANN. So currently we haven't reported this to ICANN, but we have to all the other people. And it is so appalling that they've sent this letter from... and they put in the... so if you get an email like this, boys and girls, there's a reason for mentioning all this. If you get... this is bizarre. It's from Lloyds Bank with the R behind it, like it's a registered trademark, only that's the wrong mark.
Yeah.
R means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then, in the subject field, they write, "Your life is at risk," which is, by any stretch of the imagination, threatening.
That's a threat.
Mm-hmm. That's a threat. So, by the way, if Lloyds Services at DoleOffice.com are listening, this is going to Interpol, by the way, and our chairman has decided he's going to get angry as well because he doesn't like this sort of thing either.
And can we find out that it's also at the Dole Office?
Mm.
Yes.
That indicates something about what position in life they are.
Yeah, they
it's
probably.
Titans of industry.
You can imagine them trying to think of the name when they're sitting there to get their 50p and going, yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll call it DoleOffice.com. Marvellous.
Dole Office at Lloyds Bank.
An oxymoron.
Yeah. These thick cows again.
Yeah.
But just remember, we are on your doorstep as we are speaking.
Yeah,
we are outside the house.
Newspaper behind it.
Yep. And so anyway, look, boys and girls, serious for a minute. If it is that you get an email from claiming to be from Lloyds Bank, it's not. It's called Lloyd Services. So they've even got that wrong. At DoleOffice.com. It is not real from Lloyds Bank, number one. Number two, your life is not at risk, because these kind of people cannot talk to the FBI, because if they did, they'd probably get arrested for all the crimes that are outstanding.
And the FBI wouldn't come down and kill you for it anyway.
Well, there is that
to
it.
No, they wouldn't. But the only risk that you're at is of laughing so hard that you die.
Well, that's true.
Exactly. And they can't even whip you for it, ladies and gentlemen.
And to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's no system in place at Lloyds Bank, the real one, where you deposit money with them, whereby a party that knows nothing about the bank and is not connected to the bank sends the bank a document and they release funds from somewhere without the person who's put them there's permission.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is just—it's beyond the pale, to be quite honest.
Can I do an update on this?
Yes, please.
Or have you finished?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all it is, just before we came on air, literally seconds before we came on air, I got an email off another of our listeners who shall remain nameless for the same reason. Say, and this is what she says. I had an email purporting to be from Lloyds Bank from alert@noticelloyds.co.uk saying your internet banking password was entered incorrectly 3 times. Mm-hmm. We're sorry, but your login details have been suspended. Please click the link below, blah, 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 to release it. So she, she didn't know. No, she might be a little old lady, but she's not a silly little old lady.
All right.
She actually did something that was very unusual in these cases. She actually got hold of the police as well.
Brilliant. Well done, Dorothy.
Good.
Exactly.
Well done, Dorothy. And a round of applause for Dorothy. Absolutely brilliant.
All the police have said is that don't attempt to answer this email in any way. They'll get into your internet or something, she says. But I have experience, as we know from last year when we did similar stories about this, where I contacted the police over the fact that a group of scammers were purporting to be working out of Microsoft's offices in London.
True, yeah.
The police weren't interested at all. Because the police are hamstrung on things like this. They can't actually do anything. So it's down to people like us to get these people, and we're on the street outside your house now!
Oh, so we'll do it all again. If you get an email from Lloyds Bank with an R behind it, claiming to be LloydServices@doleoffice.com, it's rubbish.
Exactly.
If they say your life is at risk, nope, it's not. You stand more risk of walking across the road. And if they say they've sent money to you through a bank, be it Ulster Bank, Lloyds Bank, or anybody else, no, they have not. Now, the other interesting thing is when, and I won't mention the name just to be on the safe side, this very, very funny name, which seems to resemble that of a horse racing jockey that was given to us in this email, we checked with the Metropolitan Police if they actually lived there. You'll never believe what happened, both of you.
Have we only got two listeners now, or do you mean me and Rachel?
I mean you and Rachel. They said to me, there's nobody by that name living there.
Yeah, well, that's why we're knocking on the doors. Everybody's out at the moment.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. So if they're all out, how the heck are they going to get this possible? And then the worst bit of it all is, for your own interest, we have contacted the FBI, and we give you 24 to 48 hours for you to go and make the shipment of the item, because we have all the right to block and flag your bank account.
Why did they give you 24 to 48? Why didn't they just give you 48?
I don't know.
Because then the 24
really
would have been in
it
anyway.
Really, yes, exactly. They're really winging it now. They're trying to sound very official and very scary, and it's sounding like a bunch of jackasses.
And this may cause you a lot of problems, but we will let you know when we have in stock for you in the next 24 hours.
Sounds like I wrote that.
Yeah, it sounds like mine as well. and I'll tell you what, boys and girls, for anybody that's interested, we'll put the main details of this up on our programme schedule, so that if anybody else gets it, we'll take the listener's name out for obvious reasons, but we'll put the rest of it onto our schedule thing on Scribd, and we would really, really appreciate it if everybody else on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever you happen to be, tells the world that this doleoffice.com is a load of old rubbish. Just send it around the web, and they will go away and annoy somebody else with a bit of luck.
Mm-hmm. Well, they shouldn't really be allowed to go away and annoy somebody else, should they? They should just be caught. I was going to say something outrageous.
They should be. They should be.
You were going to say something that comes out of a horror film then, weren't you?
Sort of. It involved walls and guns.
Yes, I can imagine. Anyway, so just one last time. If you do get... This is bogus, boys and girls. LloydServices@doleoffice.com is not Lloyds Bank, number one. Your life is not at risk if you get one of these emails, and what you should do with it is nothing. Ignore it.
Ignore it.
Delete.
Can I check with our roving reporter to see if we've got anywhere
yet? Not
yet.
It looks like a residential street.
Yeah, right. Okay. We're there. The three people we've approached... all we're getting are answer phones. So it means that it is quite not a non-affluent area. People are out at work, so that makes that scam really easy to carry out.
Now, for anybody else that's listening, if you happen to get it on something like Gmail, there's a little box that you can tick on Gmail which enables you to...
It's called the G-spot.
It is, actually, kind of. It enables you to, A, block that email coming into you from that address, and, B, report the email to Google. So you can walk away from it and other people do the dirty work. Yeah. But it also means... That no, you will not receive any more email from LloydServices@doleoffice.com. So all their investment in setting all this network up of theirs is completely wasted. Which is a great idea, really. Yeah, we like that.
In a way, with these things, though, it's quite worthwhile, if you are of that bent like I am, to allow them to keep emailing you. And just, it's interesting. They're not going to do you any harm. They can't take your money. They can't shoot you. They can't whip you. They can't do anything to you at all. I've had death threats off companies like that, or organisations, or criminals. Mm-hmm. I've literally had death threats. We know where you live. We have family in the town down. Nothing happened. I'm still here.
Yeah, well, they took one look at you and ran for the hills. Anyway, you've just given me a wonderful idea. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You have. I think we should send them the programme by email.
What a good idea.
That'll muck their mailbox up. Anyway, we move on. Actor Richard Bull, who played shopkeeper Nels Olsen in the long-running US TV series Little House on the Prairie, has died at the grand old age of 89. And he was a slim little character, wasn't he?
He was a tiny little man. He was little like, I always used to get, because I was little when this show was on, I was a little kid, but he reminded me of Bob Newhart.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Physique. He was like, they were the same sort of little, sort of brunette-y, sad eye looking guy. Yeah.
Like Hiram Holliday.
What?
Like Hiram Holliday.
Right.
He was
managed to fight Tom. Yeah. Anyway, enough of all that.
Again.
We're not going, boys and girls, but of course the big catchphrase was "Good night, Jim Bob. Good night, Lee. Good night, Rachel."
No, that was the Waltons.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, what was a little else? I did that one as well. I thought
nothing.
Was
she was running down a little hill and then she fell on her face.
but didn't they do that at the end of the programme, not the beginning?
Yeah, the beginning.
It'd be over.
Yes, before it started.
That was the Waltons.
Are you sure?
Yes, I would stake Lee's life on it.
I stand squished.
I am going to check. Was it the Little House on the Prairie?
No, she's right. Right, Lee, shush, Lee. Don't be a man. Don't be a man. Just back out now. Really, we'll move on.
Back out now.
Telling everybody about Octavia if you start telling me
Lee, back down because she's right. She's right. I know. I just remembered.
She's a woman. How can she be right?
I know that, but don't start her off for goodness sake.
You got it wrong, Rachel.
No, I'm absolutely right.
No, anyway, so sad loss there.
That's the problem with women, isn't it? Oh, no, I'm absolutely right. That's all year off women in this world now, isn't it? Well, I'm right, you're wrong.
He's taken my persona completely.
I'm not a scammer from Australia.
Anyway, so sad loss to the family there. Actor Richard Bull dies at the age of 89. And a very big shock this week was the passing of Richard Seymour Hoffman. Philip, I beg your pardon. I'm getting Richard, who's a director, mixed up with him. Great director. And that was just gobsmacking because it's probably one of the films I've watched the most in the last 5 years, because there's only about two of them I've ever watched. And of course he was famously the Count in The Boat That Rocked, and this is what Philip Seymour Hoffman sounded like on The Boat That Rocked.
You're listening to Radio Rock and I'm the Count, and I count on you as we count down to ecstasy.
They are a sewer of dirty, low morals.
The drug takers and the law breakers and the bottom-bashing agitators.
I will soon be the first person to curse on rock and roll radio.
But they risked it all.
You can't do this.
Why not? We're pirates. That's why we're sitting out here in the middle of the friggin' ocean.
We're going to shut them down.
They can't close us down.
They will find a way. Governments loathe people being free.
From midnight on New Year's Eve, Radio Rock will be breaking the...
We thought we'd never die, but
you can't fight City Hall. Three, two, one.
Only kidding, dudes!
Let's rock!
Us! Young men and young women will always dream dreams and put those dreams into song.
It still gets me that, you know.
And I love that movie. I love that movie. How accurate is it, though?
It's fabricated.
Yeah.
I think the word is, it's got some poetic license in to make it more appealing to a wider audience.
Loosely
based on Eric's life.
No, but loosely based on kind of some of the stuff. And I can just imagine Tony Benn, who was the then, Postmaster General. That's him, Postmaster General, who was in charge of radio in those days. And I can just imagine him going, that word, and sort of being all upset when it didn't work out. And that just appeals to my sense of humour. Yeah, it's like, 3, 2, 1, we're gone. Then off you go again. It's just wonderful.
It's brilliant.
It's kind of like an art.
He was a real talent. That's this guy.
He was so clever.
He was so. Did you see him in Capote?
No.
Yeah.
He won an Oscar. He won an Oscar for that. And God, he was so good. He was just so good. The first thing I ever saw him in was Scent of a Woman, and I thought, wow, who's that? He's really good. And now he's gone and made a mess of The Hunger Games. Oh, because he still had a scene to shoot, a really important scene to apparently.
Trust me, I've done video editing, they'll get round it.
Well, they did, didn't
they? They'll
figure
it out. Yeah. The other wild man of cinema, Oliver Reed, died during the making of...
That's right, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And they just rebuilt it out of scenes. Yeah, it is a tragedy, Philip Seymour Hoffman, but it does reveal this terrible... resurgence of drugs in the star-spangled banners of Hollywood and New York, doesn't it? It's a tragedy.
Mm. But I was going to say, the point about the video editing is it's so simple these days with digital media that if we get to get Lee to say, "I love beer,"
I do love beer. Beer's my favourite food.
And then we get him to say, "What did you say, Eric?"
What did you say, Eric?
And then I'll put the two bits together and it says, "I love Eric." It's simple.
Right.
Yeah. So easy.
Let's go for a beer.
There's only one scene. It's, you know, but it's, and it, although it's crucial, I mean, they'll work around. They, not like they haven't had to do it before.
Yeah, exactly.
The circumstances risen before, so, but sad nonetheless.
Anyway, I still urge you, the DVD of The Boat That Rocked is still available. And
you can't sell the DVD of The Boat That Rocked on the back of Philip Hoffman dying.
You can, because his family will get the royalties.
His family, actually, there were some pictures today, really tragic pictures of his family today.
So let's help the family out. That's always a good thing to do. So it's still available. You should go and watch it. And we move on to a success story from Rachel. As
Oh, that's new. Call the police.
We should get a news jingle alert out for this. Rach hits the button a week before the media. What did you do, Rach?
Well, I don't know if it was me so much as some careless reporting, me noticing and then me noticing again. But last week we talked about Ian Thorpe and how there were stories out about him going into rehab to be treated for depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then the story was taken down by just about every news outlet bar one.
Mm-hmm.
And said that it was completely untrue. His manager had come out and said it's completely untrue. Well, let's fast forward to the 4th of February, a few days after that. And he was found at 3 a.m. by the police, wandering around, very disoriented and clearly, you know, under some sort of medication or influence of something. And the police took him to the hospital, and now he actually is in rehab and he's being treated for depression. So I don't know why it skipped a beat, but apparently the news that there'd been false reports about him being put into rehab for depression sent him on a bit of a bender, and he got upset about it, and now is in hospital being treated for depression. So it's all come
very confusing.
Poor old Ian Thorpe, but at least now they have confirmed that he's definitely in a facility and he's being looked after and he's going to get the treatment that he needs. Mm-hmm. And you know, then he will be hopefully okay after that. And I don't know exactly what the story is, but I just last week's whole misunderstanding / how much of it was actually a misunderstanding, and it just at the time it seemed odd to
me. Actually, there was another one this week, wasn't there, with Bill Clinton and somebody?
Yeah, that's Liz Hurley.
Where apparently Bill said, "Get me a number," and that turned into, "I'm having an affair with her," which is ridiculous.
No. You've got to be fair. You've got to be fair to the press on both of these
stories. Oh, here we go.
The press acted impeccably on it. The story about Ian Thorpe came out last week, and it was reported by somebody who's being pilloried for reporting it. And normally what happens in these things, you don't just, as it's trying to be painted at the moment, people are saying that actually, the press just thought, let's put Ian Thorpe in rehab for a laugh. That'll sell some papers. That just doesn't happen.
No, I agree with that point. That wouldn't happen.
No.
And what actually did happen is probably that Mr. Thorpe, quite feasibly, was suffering from depression and anything else that he's suffering from now, a week before. You don't usually just get it overnight. It's a build-up.
No, you don't wake up with it.
Yeah. So some enterprising reporter had found that story and had put it in and had been given misinformation about him going into rehab. Probably he was already booked into rehab to go in the week after. And that's what's happened on this, yeah. And the Liz Hurley and the President of the United States. I've met Clinton, and a lovely man, big nose and a bit bluff. I liked him when I met him. But when Liz Hurley, this story came out about 12 months ago, and it appeared in one national magazine in America, mm-hmm. you know, the supermarket shelf magazine. It appeared in there, and don't disservice the press over this, because the press totally ignored it, completely ignored it for months and months and months, until Liz Hurley herself tweeted saying, "I have never had an affair with the President of the United States, blah, blah, blah." Mm-hmm. So then that was a legitimate story. Liz Hurley says she's never had an affair with the President of the United States. Good
Hang
story.
On a minute, did they get suckered?
Have a cigar after.
Because what I'm thinking here is, what's Liz Hurley about to do that she needs some publicity for?
She probably is, you're quite right, yeah.
Anything at all.
So therefore I'm allowed to use the phrase, they got suckered.
You can say suckered as much as you want, I just think it's a funny word.
Yeah. What to use for that?
If she is amping herself up for something, then you gotta tip your hat to her. She's pretty.
That's pretty darn good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's called manipulation. Yeah. If ever I've seen it anywhere. Anyway,
well, either which way, we hope poor old Ian Thorpe gets better, because he has been horribly unwell for quite a long time, and he's been living quite happily in Switzerland for quite a long time too. That's why this never came up on anybody's radar, and why I think Lee's right. I think somebody scooped it, and then it was all hush hush. But he was living off our media's radar in Switzerland, very quietly, very happily, minding his own business, and then came back to Australia at Christmas time, and now, hence, has been not feeling so great, but I dare say he's not been feeling very, very well for quite a long time. So I hope he gets better.
Well, very quickly, we should also wish the best of luck to whichever country you're in, to all the Olympians who have started competing in the Russian Games. Let's hope that all goes well and none of the purported incidents happen. And I hope everybody over in Sochi has a gay day.
Oh, dear.
Yes. I have a really, really Gloria Gaynor gay day.
Yeah. Yeah, followed by a bit of Cher, of course, as well.
That's it.
Nothing wrong with a bit of Sherry.
And a bit of Kylie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
You have to have a bit of Kylie
nothing
in the mix.
A bit of Minogue.
Yeah, you'd have a bit of Kylie and probably a bit of Earth, Wind & Fire in there if it's getting a bit late.
Oh, Donna Summer.
Donna Summer, yeah, that'd be the one.
Donna Summer. Earth, Wind and Fire.
I don't know. Anyway, that's the end of part one, boys and girls. We'll be back with part two. Faster, you can have that milkshake, drink a cup of tea, or even make a cup of coffee. I don't know.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.